Hey guys, Matty Griffin here. Welcome to the BMW Motorrad Podcast, a new podcast about the world's best bikes, the people who ride them, and the places they take us to. You might even find me in there somewhere. Now, here's your host and my mate, Andy Dukes.
Greetings, BMW riders. I'm Andy Dukes, and I'm a lifelong BMW Motorrad fan. I just love them. GSs, RRs, XRs, RTs, whatever. As long as it's got two wheels and an engine, I'll ride it. It's the way these bikes make you feel while riding that I want to tap into. That feeling of freedom, of belonging, of connection, not just with nature, but with your fellow riders in the Motorrad community. In this podcast series, I want to take you deep behind the scenes within BMW Motorrad and introduce you to the passionate guys and girls that spend their lives designing, engineering and building their dream bikes, which ultimately become our dream bikes. I want to feature the inspiring riders and the adventures that these bikes engender. And I want to bring you the stories you won't find elsewhere. We're delighted that you'll be sharing these podcasts with us over the coming months. Maybe while you're on the train or plane, driving back from the office, walking the dog, running, cooking dinner, or even just chilling out at home. Yep, you can even enjoy a podcast with your eyes shut. It's that easy. But if you're listening to this while riding your BMW, do keep your eyes on the road ahead. So what's in this opening episode? First up, it's the International GS Trophy. And we'll be looking ahead to New Zealand, an adventure rider's paradise and the ultimate destination for the 2020 edition. Then we're talking big boxes. Thanks to the recent unveiling of the Concept R18, we now know there's a new cruiser on its way. 1800 cc's of pure emotion. I'll be speaking to the head of BMW Motorrad, the marketing team and the bike's designers about the super exciting new model series heading our way. After that, we'll touch on 50 years of the legendary Slash 5 series, and speak to someone who was lucky enough to get hold of a new R9T/5 and ride it from the depths of Cornwall to the northern tip of Scotland, even before this special new model was officially unveiled. So, stick your headphones on, turn the volume up, and enjoy the BMW Motorrad podcast. Right, on to international GS Trophy matters. It's getting closer. The 7th edition of the awe-inspiring competition that celebrates the spirit of the BMW GS. The event is not a race, of course, but a team competition, pitching the GS Riding International contingent against each other in a series of challenges. But it's so much more than that. It also fosters a sense of brotherhood, sisterhood and camaraderie. Equally, the GS Trophy is a celebration of culture and nature, the riders learning about and understanding the people and the terrain of the regions they encounter. Arguably, though, none of this would be possible without the GS itself, and what it has inspired in riders over the decades. I'd like to introduce you to someone who has played a significant role in the trophy's continued success, and is one of the biggest GS fans I know. Great to have you here and talk about the GS Trophy, Ralph. Would you say that the International GS Trophy is unique in the motorcycling world?
Definitely. I think we had a format of an event that a lot of competitors tried to copy, and they're quite good in it, but the original is still the GS Trophy. So, because coming out of the GS now, after so many years of inventing the GS and being so successful and have such a great community of GS riders, and I know from a lot of talks that I had here at the BMW Motorrad Days in Garmisch, there it is still our main bike. So many people are also engaged in the GS Trophy, following that on the social media, looking forward to the next, talking about the last GS Trophy. So that is very much in the mind of our customers, of our GS riders.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly united GS riders worldwide in a way that's, you know, never happened before. Would you say that community then is the secret of its success?
Definitely, the community. That is why we are doing it, and that is why it is so successful. So all the followers, and there, I would already say that we are like a family, like a GS family. If a GS rider meets another GS rider I have never ever seen before, but they feel like friends or feel like part of a family, and that really unifies a lot of people, and it is very beautiful to see that, how these people meet, especially here at the BMW Motorrad Days in Garmisch.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a real GS family out there. I mean, I hear countless stories of around the world GS riders who've been hosted by their GS brothers and sisters across the globe. It's happened to me myself when I rode around the world. What is it that you think makes that community so strong?
It is, a lot comes out of the motorcycle and the motorcycle itself, because we have so many experience of building that motorcycles, and we developed it over more than 39 years. And so the bike is, of course, the first choice. When you think about traveling around the world, nobody will pass you jazz. That is the first thing. But of course, all these stories that had been happened with the GS from the last 39 years, that is, of course, built this family, because there are so million of stories, cool stories, nice stories, sentimental stories, and all this stuff. And when you are in that market for so long, there are so many people who can tell something that happened together with their GS, and that makes the family, of course. It is not, it's much, much ahead of the product itself.
Like you say, that, you know, the GS model series, it's been around for 39 years, since 1980. Why did it take more than a quarter of a century to get the GS trophy off the ground?
Yeah, very good question. I have no idea. I think we had the first GS trophy in 2008, and that started a new story, an additional story to this GS story, and the spirit of GS. And that was the right time in 2008 to start with that. And we saw that a lot of people were following, and after the GS trophy, people were riding where the GS trophy were, and ride on the same tracks and do such things. So that gives us the idea of, hey, of course, only a couple of people can ride in the GS trophy, but there are so many people who want to ride it. So why not offering after the GS trophy, this follow the trails of the GS trophy? So everybody can now follow them. So we have an organization, and we are selling these trips, and where you ride on the original tracks of the GS trophy with all the logistic around, like in the original International GS trophy.
Yeah, it's an absolutely brilliant idea. I mean, it's a fantastic event. But like you say, there's no point in just having an event for a few people. You know, you've got to share it with the rest of the world. Now, you've been to the last four GS trophies. What do you like best about the event?
Definitely the best of the event is meeting people from everywhere in the world. In the last trophy, we had people from 21 nations. So many different, from coming from totally different cultures. And there is this one unifying thing, the GS. And you talk to somebody from the other side of the world, and you have, from the beginning, you have something in common with them. And that was always the absolute spirit of GS, is this meeting people, sharing the stories, what they have done with the GS, and listen to that stories, telling your own stories. And that is always the best in the evening, sitting there on the campfire, having a beer in hand and talking to somebody who's from a totally different part of the world. And you feel like friends after a couple of minutes.
Yeah, it's absolutely perfect. Now, this question is probably difficult to answer. I know you've been to GS trophies in South America, in Canada, in Thailand, and also in Mongolia. But which one of those has been your favorite so far, and why?
I'm sure that the favorite trophy will be the New Zealand trophy next year.
That's a good answer. Now, I first met you in 2012 in Argentina, where you took a 1983 R80 GS, or should I say G/S, to the International GS Trophy South America. And it was fantastic to see you doing the entire trophy on an original GS, 29 years younger than the competitors' bikes of that time, but incredibly capable all the same. What was your thinking behind that great move?
Actually, I was quite nervous at the beginning, but already after couple of days, we found out that, of course, we have built GSs from the beginning. And that was the idea from the beginning, building a big bike that you can travel the world with. And that idea was already in that G/S from 1983 that I was riding. Of course, there's a lot of technical advanced stuff today in the bikes, but it was also to prove, hey, from the beginning, we built GSs under the same spirit of having a bike that takes you around the world. And you have been there. It was no problem to ride, of course, in the very hard terrain. It is more difficult, and some loops I did not in the very hard thing. But 98% of the trophy was the same with the modern GS and the 29-year-old G/S.
Okay, so next year we'll be making the journey to New Zealand, and you've already been there. How excited are you about this country as a GS destination for the trophy?
I think all the countries where we had done the GS trophy were fantastic and were really GS countries. And now being in New Zealand and we had the final approval of the roads, of the trip or of the tracks, it is mind-blowing. It is absolutely mind-blowing. That is, if there is only one country in the world that could be named the GS country, it is definitely New Zealand. You have from one day to the other, you have totally different landscapes. One day you are traveling through desert, then it looks like in the Alps the next day. Then you are riding through jungle, and then you ride legally on a beach. Coming from Germany, it is unbelievable that you are allowed to ride a motorcycle on the beach. And when we first hit the beach there, I remember that we were just playing around for 1.5 hours, just riding in circles, because we couldn't believe it that it is allowed to ride on a beach. Then you have this in the South Island, you have this typical New Zealand landscape that we know from Lord of the Rings, and it's absolutely fantastic. Every day, totally different scenery, and that in combination with a very, very nice people. We were really with open arms. We had so many new friends done there in just a couple of days that we've been there. There's only one disadvantage, and that is a distance. From Germany, it is exactly the other side of this planet.
Yeah, it's about as far as you can go, whichever way you go around the world. But of course, for a lot of the countries that are participating, it's not as far as they've had to travel in the past. And of course, there are GS riders listening to this now who are still hoping to qualify for the trophy via their national qualifiers. What message have you got for them?
Good luck. Try to be in there. It will be the best ever GS trophy, I can promise.
Brilliant. Thanks very much for talking to us and enlightening us about New Zealand and the world of GS. Thank you, Ralph.
Thank you, Andy.
Cast your mind back to the end of May, when BMW Motorrad unveiled a rather special custom concept featuring a new prototype 1800cc flat-twin motor, the highest capacity boxer motorcycle engine ever produced. It all took place on the shores of Lake Como in Italy at the Concorso d'Eleganza Villa d'Este event, where it's become something of a tradition for BMW Motorrad to present breathtaking design studies and then put them into series production. This stripped-down, raked-out custom bike was simply christened Concept R18. But the name gives a strong hint of what's coming our way soon in the cruiser segment. To find out more for the podcast, I spoke to some of the guys behind the design of this stunning hand-built concept bike, as well as those responsible for bringing a production version to the market soon. Yep, it's definitely happening. How cool is that? So, let's start with head of BMW Motorrad, Dr. Markus Schramm, who tells us why the brand is extending its model portfolio into this exciting segment.
I mean, to extend your portfolio is not a quick decision. It is a mid-term or long-term strategy. So you need to prove your ideas a little bit earlier, which we did with the R5 Homage 3 years ago. We got a very good reaction from the participants, but also afterwards from the public. So this encouraged us to go this route, and today we are here. I mean, we're clearly entering the cruiser segment, so the big cruiser segment is a target group. And I think these are people who love to have puristic designs, and the custom design is very popular. So this is a kind of target group we are hitting for. I think that's certainly very important to recognize that more and more people looking at motorcycling being really relaxation, getting offline and not being trapped in the digital world. I think BMW Motorrad is certainly this brand with the most, the biggest portfolio. So we have bikes which are very technical, we have bikes which are very emotional, and we have all kinds of bikes in a huge range. And I think certainly this bike is hitting the emotional part, and we are well prepared with the R9 team. We already entered this segment, and we will continue to be successful there.
That was Dr. Marcus Cham talking to us in Italy. He was joined by BMW Motorrad Vice President Sales and Marketing Timo Resch, who was keen to explain why the time is right for a series production cruiser powered by a big boxer engine.
The huge success of the R19 lineup that we have in the market right now gave us great confidence that it's absolutely time now to have an additional product in this heritage segment. And the first feedback about the Concept R18 is giving us the feeling that this has been the right decision. I'm absolutely convinced that the Concept R18 can win all the hearts of the fans of the cruiser segments worldwide. And I think it's doing that already quite now. And lots of people that might not even know that they're fans of this segment yet, they will also come and will be very interested about this whole segment. For me personally, what is really special about the Concept R18 is that it's really combining the traditional classic idea about a BMW Motorrad product with its iconic big boxer engine, and it's taking that into the modern times by putting elements into it that come from the customizing side. So it's really the essence of BMW Motorrad in a very authentic way.
Thanks, Timo. Let's talk about design, and to the head of BMW Motorrad Design, Edgar Heinrich, about the thinking and the emotion behind the Concept R18.
This is really about the looks, it's about sound and about the feeling, you know. Looking back in our history is always super interesting, and we have a huge history, yeah, we have a strong history, and we just want to use it. We always plan to create a motorbike in the cruiser segment, because this is something we just don't have anything, you know, and there is lots of people who want to have this, and I think the romance for these emotional things, for these mechanic sculptures, is getting bigger and bigger, and this is what we want to achieve here. Of course, for this project, we choose colleagues. They are really into these markets. They know the markets, they know the customers, they understand the rule in the segment. And most of them, they work at home in the garage. They do the same thing, you know, on their weekends. This bike is all about, yeah, it's about the looks. It's about the emotion. It's the looks, the feel, the sound, and the detailing. Basically, I like to call it, this is a bike which has lots of elegance. And I like to call it, it's the power of simplicity. This is really very, very nice on this bike. If you look at the engine, the engine is the pivot point of all the bike. And the best thing is, this is undeniable a BMW engine. The stance and the look and everything. And it's the biggest boxer engine ever built. I want to call it the mother of the boxer engine, you know. It's a mechanical sculpture. And to me, it's a masterpiece of metalwork. I think for all the team, this was a super nice project. First of all, this kind of concept bikes are always on top of the normal work. So that's one thing. On the other hand, the team is always super excited and super motivated to do this kind of stuff. And I just can congratulate the whole team. This is a perfect and amazing piece of work.
And what about the team? Let's get a view from the actual designer of the Concept R18, Bart Janssen Groesbeek, who tells us a little bit more about the journey from initial design sketch to finished concept.
This time we were really lucky with the Concept R18, because we could really transfer what we made in the sketches to the finished product. And even some details are a little bit different from the sketch, but they're still pretty close to the concept and to the ideas. And actually the proportion and the stance is spot on. So for the concept bike, it's really important to have a really clean look. And that's why we also have all the wiring have disappeared and hidden inside the tank and underneath the frame. In this kind of motorcycle, it's important to have a clear message and not to have too many finishes. So we concentrated ourselves on polished aluminium, chrome and painted black. In this segment, the size of the engine is really important, because the engine is king. And with this bike, with the frame and with the other parts, we really put the engine on show. It's an 1800cc, biggest BMW boxer. The most emotional moment for us was when we mounted the exhaust, because in that moment we really saw everything coming together, and especially the chrome swoop from back to front, it really showed off the design. In the cruiser segment, the bike is like a blank canvas. So any future production machine will be sure to have lots of special parts to make it your own.
And the final words go to BMW Motorrad's Head of Marketing and Product Management, Dr. Ralf Roderpeter, who speaks of everyone's excitement in bringing a series production version of this cruiser to the market.
Yeah, from a marketing perspective, it's a very exciting time because we are entering into a new market, into a new segment for us. And the concept R18 shows what will be on the market in the second half of 2020. The cruiser segment is one of the biggest segments in the motorcycle market, in the big motorcycle market. And it is high time for BMW Motorrad to be also part of that market. I had the chance to ride some of our prototypes of that bike, and I can tell you it is amazing. It is just cool. You feel like the king of the world riding that bike.
And speaking of that beautiful boxer engine sound, I can treat you to a little snippet of how the Concept R18 sounds when it was started up and ticking over at the Concorso. If that's music to your ears, then get online and head to bmw-motorrad.com/r18 for more details of this genuine BMW Motorrad hand-built machine that's already won the hearts and souls of many custom bike fans worldwide, and register your interest in the production version that'll be rumbling towards us from 2020. Now that's what I call music. This podcast is made possible by listeners like you, so thanks a lot for your support. And if you like it, why not subscribe? And we'll bring all the podcasts direct to you. Now, back to the show. Ah, the sound of BMW custom bikes. The Mallet Rally is the longest motorcycle rally ever attempted in the UK. 1,250 beautiful miles from the southern tip of England to the very northern tip of Scotland. You may have heard of Mallet. It's a luxury brand from London that makes handcrafted luggage, apparel and adventure accessories for the discerning motorcyclist. Mallet also hosts the Mallet Mile Sprint and the Great Mallet Rally, a navigation rally specifically for custom, classic, cafe racer, chopper and scrambler motorcycles. Discovering the back roads of England, Wales and Scotland on two wheels, what's not to like? That's exactly what BMW Motorrad's Sandra aimed for. So she jumped on the new R9T/5 and rode it through the wildest landscapes our little island has to offer. Here's what she thought of Blighty, the Mallet Rally and the new Beamer. Okay, hi Sandra. The Great Mallet Rally, it's only open to riders of inappropriate motorcycles. Why is that?
Well, depends, I suppose, on what you call inappropriate. But if you think of the fact that you're riding for like 1,200 miles and it's all naked bikes, it's, you know, customized bikes, it's fairly uncomfortable bikes, then I suppose you would call that inappropriate.
And 1,250 miles, I think that's over 2,000 kilometers, cross-country, five navigation stages from the southern tip of Cornwall to the very northern tip of Scotland. You've probably seen more of the UK in 1 week than most Brits do in their lifetime.
I suppose I did. Honestly, you know, when I heard 1,200 miles, I kind of thought, ah, well, 1,200 kilometers, that's not that far. You know, you can do that in about 3 days. Until I realized that a mile is a little bit more than a kilometer. And the days were really, really, really long. But because of that stunning scenery, it just flew by.
Because you went through Cornwall, Devon, Wales, Lake District, Scotland. Were you surprised at how good a destination for riding the UK is if the sun's shining?
Again, I suppose we were very lucky. We only had 1 day of rain, and that was the very, very last stage. And yeah, the rest of the country, people kept telling me that we'd seen the most beautiful sort of part of it, and they had never seen Cornwall, I think, in the sun before. So to me, that was a present that I just couldn't believe that I got, basically. It was amazing. Loved it.
And the inappropriate motorcycle you got your hands on was, in fact, the new R90/5 before it was unofficially unveiled. What was the response to the bike among the other rally participants?
Well, funnily enough, I was a bit worried about that before, but it blended in perfectly. There were so many beautifully you know, done up bikes, customized bikes, lots of different colors, lots of makes, basically every make that you can imagine that could have an inappropriate bike. And so ours just perfectly fit into the family.
And how did it perform over the 5 days of the rally, this /5?
It was amazing. It started in the morning. It kept running through the day. It didn't, you know, muck around. It was just perfect. Whilst others had to have their bolts, you know, fixed, or, you know, the oil was leaking, my bike just performed beautifully.
Comfort-wise, did it take you from one end of the country to another, no problems at all?
Well, it's a 90, of course it did. But honestly, of course, like, you know, you have, it's a naked bike. So you are in tune with nature. You get all the elements that are right in your face. But to me, that's the beauty of riding, you know. You're just in tune with everything. It's sometimes uncomfortable, but then the scenery makes up for it.
Good to have the wind in your face, so to speak. Were there any other BMWs in the rally?
Quite a few, actually. I was very surprised because it's open to all brands. And I was thinking that, you know, it was a little bit like a family meeting, but with all the brands who, you know, people love, and all the old bikes, new bikes, a good mix of it. And we fit in perfectly well. So, yes, there were a few 90s. There were a few old bikes, actually, very old bikes, and they all made it.
Good stuff. Now, this special edition /5, it's being produced as a homage to the original massively popular /5 series that's actually celebrating its 50th anniversary this year. Where do you think this yearning for nostalgia for older looking bikes is coming from?
Well, I suppose difficult to say because it's different for every one of us. But I reckon it's a little bit, you know, in this world that's moving so fast with all the digitalization going on and messages beeping into your phone all the time, it feels like people are looking for a way to quieten their minds and maybe, you know, look back at values and things that are familiar that they've maybe known from their grandfathers and fathers. And when life was more sorted or a little bit more slow, and well, to me at least, it feels like that. So maybe that is why.
Yeah, absolutely. Time to slow things down a bit. And the rally itself, would you do it again?
In a heartbeat. It was amazing. I met so many really cool people, and we all had one thing in common. We just loved getting on those bikes in the morning, have a beer in the evening once we'd done the rally, meet up for lunch somewhere, enjoy the scenery. It was amazing.
Superb. There you have it. Thanks for talking to us, Sandra.
Very welcome.
The end already. Well, thanks for joining us for this opening BMW Motorrad podcast. Make sure you subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts so you'll never miss an episode. In fact, we've got episode 2 waiting for you right now, with special features on an electrified future, pure and crafted, and some exciting new teams joining the International GS Trophy. Don't miss these stories and the content coming in episodes 3 and 4, which we can't wait to share with you. But why not get in touch and tell us what you'd like to hear on the show, which topics you'd like us to cover, and who you'd like to see as guests? Contact us via Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter using the hashtag BMW Motorrad Podcast. This is Andy Duke signing off. So wherever you are, don't forget to make your life a ride. Bye for now.